Hi, I'm Favi Fav.
And this is Babelito.
And we are Latinos Who Lunch, the podcast where we talk about important things like
how to make poppers great again.
Hello, hello, hello.
Kichum, kichum, kichum.
Let's get this popping.
Let's do this.
Felt that one.
Let's get right to it. Today we have a very special guest. We're actually in our guest house.
Yes.
We're here in Los Angeles, California.
En el meritito centro del...
Actually, we're in East LA.
In Boyle Heights.
In Boyle Heights.
Sorry. Boyle Heights.
And we're with the one and only Julio Salgado.
Hola, muchachos. ¿Cómo están?
Estamos muy bien.
Ay, mira.
¿Puedo hablar en español? ¿Está
sí,
bien?
Sí, sí, cómo claro. No. Yeah,
este we es want un espacio bilingüe.
Yeah, we want you to be your authentic self.
Oh, I don't know what that is. I'm various. There's various authentic selves of mine that I use. You know,
well, yeah. We'll cue you in which authenticity yes. We want you to perform.
Thank you.
Yeah,
she's gonna make me cry. Remember, I charge extra for the tears. Como dijo la Yossi.
Okay, so before we get to your trauma, let's let's talk about what you're eating.
So
what did we get for lunch right down
yeah,
the street?
We went to La Luna restaurant here in Boyle Heights, and they have amazing... Well, I like going there for the pupusas and the gorditas and their jugos naturales. Girl, bring cash.
It's so
cash
good.
Only.
Cash only. You know the cash only places are the ones
are
to
the
go.
Good ones.
It's like...
Tienes razón. Yeah. I got a jugo Vallarta. Tiene plátano, fresa, piña y guara guara la cuchara.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Las cosas que te hacen son para ti,
para el cuerpo.
Para cuando andas medio crudix, como andamos ahorita.
Crudex.
They're miracle workers.
So
they're
awesome.
Great for that.
What are you drinking?
A little tamarindo. Keeping it
tamarind?
Tamarind.
Is it tamarind?
A little tamarind.
I didn't know that's how you say tamarindo in English until I saw it at a Whole Foods.
Until you read it at
she
a Whole Foods.
She was at a Whole Foods and it's like tamarind. I was like, oh shit, is that how you say it? Or they're making fun of us? You never know.
That's how you say it.
But that's how you say
they
it.
They gentrify everything.
So
even tamarindo.
I went with your advice and I had a gordita.
Mm-hmm. We're having the same thing actually.
A gordita de chile.
De pollo con chile verde.
Así es.
Tiene chile verde.
But it's the actual masa is made out of, it's like corn masa.
Yes.
And I'm used to having gorditas made out of flour.
Ah.
So very few places make good maíz gorditas.
Like a Taco Bell. Is that
exactly.
The ones that gorditas you're talking about?
No.
Because those gorditas are, mira, masa.
Es que este güey es del norte.
Yo soy del norte. I've never had... Well, you're from...
Juárez.
I'm from Ensenada.
Son dos monstruos completamente diferentes.
Son diferentes.
Okay, let's... What's the... So what are the characteristics of a gordita? Because I actually am not sure.
I'm not sure either.
A gordita is a pocket food, and it can be filled with a lot of things, but mostly first beans, and then you can put los guisados in it.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I am used to having basically a tortilla de harina, but thicker in the pocket. That's mm-hmm.
Okay.
The gordita that I like. But this one is made out of maseca, like
so
corn.
It's like the pupusas, but like
open,
gordita.
But good.
So. It's like a pupusa, but open? Like
yes.
An arepa, almost?
Yes, like an arepa. But it's, I don't know, like arepas have a different type of corn.
Arepa is, it's kind of like cornish. It's
yes.
Like there's, it's like a...
Es una masa diferente.
Pero es corn.
Yes, 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 yes.
Google it, loca.
Let's Google it.
No, okay.
Loca.
It's, anyway, it looked delicious. I had a chile relleno, and it was absolutely great.
¿Con qué? ¿Con arroz?
Con arroz y frijoles.
Okay, tus rellenos.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
So we all got stuffed by stuffed food.
Mm-hmm.
So today we are recording from your apartment here in Boyle Heights. And we understand that you just moved back to LA.
Yeah, I should.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I actually grew up in Long Beach, California,
mm-hmm.
which is 20 minutes south of here.
Yeah.
Well, down
sure.
there. Yeah, down there.
Yeah.
Allá bajito. And I moved to the Bay Area in 2012 because my mentor, Fabiana Rodriguez, was starting an organization called Culture Strike. And she was like, you need to come up here and be part of this. And so, yeah, so I moved to the Bay Area and, you know, I worked in a lot of projects with Culture Strike. And the main goal of Culture Strike is to work with immigrant artists Because I think that if you're going to try to change culture, like shift cultures around immigrants, like we should be leading that conversation. Right. It shouldn't be people who, you know, it shouldn't be like the Democrats, you know, or, you know, trying to get votes.
Yeah, it shouldn't
or like,
be government or like, dictating that.
Yeah, like, and I think it's in order for you know, for politics to change, like, first we need to change, you know, we need to shift culture. And right now, I think the alternative right, however you want to call it, mm-mm. they're doing a great, I mean, I like, the I'm looking for, my, yeah, they're like fucking, I'm like, you fucking are putting white supremacy, you know, like, we knew that this is a thing, it exists.
Yeah.
But those motherfuckers are coming out and, like, you know, taking ownership of their fucking white supremacy narrative. And so.
With the hoods off.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Pero que vengan para acá. They just
decline. I want them to do a protest
over
here.
Dude, they just declined an invitation. Like, there was a group that declined an invitation in South Central. Like, they invited them to, like, do you want to come and riot
porque,
here?
Porque, pues, pendejos. Bueno, sí son
putazos
pendejos.
Va a haber. So, sorry. So, that's all to say that I moved to the Bay Area to work with Culture Strike because Fabiana Rodriguez, who's, like, an amazing artist and my mentor, you know, from the Bay Area, she was like, you need to come out here and let's work on this project and let's work on trying to figure out how we can make sure that artists, undocumented artists, not just only are part of, you know, this project, but they actually get to pay them to yes. you know, because or I wish I could pay my rent by, you know, giving them a poster, but that's not how it works. And so, you know, I started doing a couple of projects and I was there for like 5.5 years. And then earlier this year, I made the decision to move back. I knew eventually I was going to move back to Southern California.
Yeah.
But this year felt even more like I knew I had to come back because I was hearing of all these checkpoints that were happening and my family lives here. And so I was like, I need to be close to my family.
Yeah.
And so, I moved here in July. So I've been here for like 2 months now and I'm glad to be back in Southern California, but I think the Bay Area will always be my second home and Culture Strike is based out of the Bay Area. So I'm going to be coming back and forth. I'm going in September again.
And one of the first things I learned about you is your web series with your roommate.
That's where I saw you first. Osito.
Yes.
Yeah. So aside, you know, because she's a multidisciplinary.
Yeah, ¿cómo se dice todas las?
Hace de todo.
Intersectionality.
You know, intersectionality in her art approach. In her
personal. You are a cultural producer.
Right.
That's what you're doing.
You
are producing the culture, baby.
I love it. Yes. Thank you for the title.
Of course.
Thank
anytime.
You. Thank you for boxing me and labeling me.
It's what I do best.
Thank you. No, yeah. So before I moved to the Bay Area, we started we started using video to tell stories of being undocumented. And so we started in 2010 with videos. They were, and like at the time, the narrative as undocumented immigrants was like, oh, America, accept me. I'm a good immigrant. Look, I went to college.
Look, I'm non-threatening.
I'm not threatening. Yeah. So we were making some of these videos that were a little bit like, I look back at it and I'm just like, some of those videos were very, it was emotional and it was sad because, you know, being an immigrant can be like sad as fuck. You know, it was a reality.
Yeah,
but then
a burden you're always carrying.
Yeah, yes. Constantly having to think about. And so I was like, fuck that. Like, ya me cansé de, like, constantly having to, like,
absolutely.
Show you my humanity, like, having to tell you, look, I'm worth it. And so a lot of us use humor to cope with this shit.
Yeah.
I mean, our families, you know, that my dad is a comedian, you know, and like, and so we started making this series before Osito. We started making the series called Undocumented and Awkward because it could be really awkward to tell somebody that you're undocumented. Like, why are you 25 years old and you don't have a driver's license? It's like, oh, because I don't know, like I had a DUI and, you know, you somehow, it sounded more cool to tell somebody that you had a DUI than telling the truth and you're undocumented immigrant.
And it's more important to be real than to use empathy as a tool because empathy only works for the other party. So they're going to feel good about feeling bad about you guys.
Exactly.
And that doesn't do anything.
Exactly. I'm like, I don't need you to feel sorry
exactly,
for me.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so those series were like, we touch on the humor and the awkwardness of just being undocumented. And it was like the most we would like go from like dating, trying to go into a club and not being in, you know, you're not allowed to go in because of your matricula. This is before la matriculitz. Girl, they look so fake, especially like back when I got them, when I graduated high school.
Especially when
like
you get into the swap meet, yeah.
Well, no, I'm that's not kidding. Even the thing. I went. Okay, so this is the thing. Like, so you go to get a counselor ID. A matricula. You have to go. No, it's not even a mica. It's like a Mexican. You go to the Mexican consulate, and it's a legit piece of paper. Like, it's a legit piece of paper that says your age, your address, and you know, you send us an ID, and so. A lot of banks, you can like open bank accounts with them. You just don't have access to government stuff. And so whenever I would go to a club, when I started going to the gay clubs, you know, in 2001, I would try to use a matricula. And girl, they look fake. And I'm like, my government is fucking us over. Because they look like a fucking, parecía como que le hicieron en somebody's house.
Like a pamphlet?
No, it was like an ID, but it was, ¿cómo se dice cuando le ponen plástico? Like it was laminated. It was like laminated.
That's why it's called
So I remember going to my first gay club, and the gay clubs are pretty like they were like, okay, it's 18, you're 18, blah blah whatever. But it was the straight clubs that gave me the most shit, and they would tell me, they were like, oh, this is fake. And I'm like, first of all, if I'm gonna get a fake ID, why would I get a fake Mexican ID? Like, that doesn't make sense. I would try to get a fake California ID or whatever. And so yeah, I had a lot of issues with it, but. So things like that, and we would recreate them and just show the awkwardness in that, like going with a friend that doesn't know that you're undocumented, and they're like, why are you allowed, you know, I'm undocumented. And so when we started making a lot of this it was like little sketch comedy situation. By the way, we're not professional actors. They were like, This are all like stories that happened to us, and they look real because we went through them. And it was almost like therapeutic, you know, like relieving this experience is one of my favorite ones.
Because you get to talk about it.
Yeah. And like kind of own the narrative. One of my favorite ones was when I recreated the scene that I had, because I used to dated for a little bit this Latino Republican. Cause she was like, I don't see political views, I should see dick.
Wow. And you transcend.
I know. She was really cute. She looked like a chubby version of Mario Lopez. So I know, girl. I know. And he was a teacher. He was a third grade teacher. But he was Republican, Latino. Like fifth generation Latino.
What
like,
kind of Latino?
The ones that pronounce their name like Lopez, but like instead of Lopez, saying no, it's Lopez.
Exactly.
Lopez.
So he dubbed me because he was like,
¿por qué no tienes
papeles? Yeah, but he's like, you don't drive because you don't have a license. You just, you know, like we're in different, you know, like etapas de nuestras vidas. Like she was working at Chipotle because I couldn't get like a job.
Yeah.
Like that didn't check papers. Chipotle didn't use to check papers. Blind. And so like to me, I was like, damn, like I literally got, like it wasn't like we would have great conversations. We would have discussions about his views, his political views, and my views. But at the end of the day, like I was like, you know, you're dumping me because of this situation that I have no control over. And so we recreated that scene, and I played the Latino Republican. And my friend and my roommate, Yosimar Reyes, he played me. And then he was like, ay, pendeja, why would you like go on a date? Because he was cute. And you're like digmatized, and you know, you're kind of like, okay, well, maybe he'll change. But no. She didn't.
Do you ever find out if he ever saw the videos?
No, but when I was actually the weekend that we were here for DragCon, and we went to one of the clubs, what's the name of it?
Ecoplex.
The precinct. The precinct in downtown LA. He was there. He was there, and he used to call me by my full name, like Julio Salgado. Like that's what he would call me. He was like, hey, Julio Salgado. And I was like, hey, and I forgot his name. I mean, you know, unforgettable.
Like, hey, third.
I was
grade.
Like, hey, you. But then, now that he would, I mean, I don't know how he would come across, you know, the videos. I don't know if he ever saw them. But it was funny because I'm like, oh, you look busted. And I look cute. So it was one of those like moments. Like, I felt like Julia Roberts when she wasn't allowed to be in the store.
Yes.
Big mistake. Big mistake. You left this. For whoever you were with.
Oh my God.
So a lot of your work has your work in general has this documentary aspect to it. This the one with your roommate is with video, but also you do printing, right? You do...
I do most of my stuff is digital prints, okay. Like digital illustrations. I'll print them out, but I'm not... I want to get more into you know, screen printing.
Mm. And Culture Strike promotes... mostly digital arts, or it's starting to brand everything?
When we started, because what me and Fabiana are both visual artists, specifically we do political art, mm-hmm. Posters, we were working with a lot of, you know, visual artists, you know, that make poster work.
Yeah.
But then we started bringing into the team people who, you know, writers, and video, you know, like Jesus started working with Culture Strike. And so right now we're actually working on a project with four filmmakers, and the project is, it's called Visions from the Inside, and we work in collaborations with people that have been detained in the border and tell their own story. So we did that project in the past with posters, but now we're like venturing in film, and you know, like, because I have a little experience being in front of the camera, I wanted to kind of like, you know, pass that on to like, because we're working with youth, immigrant youth, and just like feeling comfortable to tell your own story, not being ashamed of who you are. And the reality is that they're not, you know, like we have this idea, we box people thinking that, ay, pobrecitos, they're not gonna, you know, they're scared. They don't, you know, they don't know better. But the project that we did, we actually went up to go see the eclipse in up north, and Mount Shasta, that's where we went to. And the kids are a bunch of like nerdy kids who like love the universe, and they were really interested in you know, experiencing that. And so we were connecting the universe and how like we're nothing, you know, and we're dealing with this shit about borders and immigration. In reality, it's like, who are we in this fucking universe, in this shed that, you know,
and at the end of the day, we're all looking at the same moon, exactly, at the same sun.
Todos cagamos, todos, you know, exactly. Like from everything. And so to me, you know, being able to get away and being able to just say that I'm going to go on a trip that I'm not going to think about all these things, and to be sharing that with youth, it was great. And they were like all like very interested in like holding the camera and like, you know, filming each other. That's so it's so like cool. we have it in ourselves to create art. But a lot of the times, you know, we're boxed and thinking that, oh, you know, your job is to be in front of a camera and just cry. And I'll tell you how to cry. And so we see them as collaborators rather than subjects, because that's how it should be. Like, as artists, it's our responsibility, especially if you're touching on subjects like this, not to see other people as subjects, but as like collaborators that are, you know, that are bringing something to create something together.
Correct.
Totally.
Made me cry now.
Yeah, let's get into your trauma. Let's really get in there. No, I know you charge for that, and we don't have the budget.
Yeah,
so.
She charges.
So, do you have any projects coming up here in LA?
I mean, I think that project is one of the biggest ones. We're actually another reason why I moved to LA was I'm like a big pop culture fanatic. Like, I mean, right now, Insecure is my shit.
Oh, so good.
I'm like between Insecure and then have you heard the new Jenny Rivera novela, Mi Mariposa de Barrio?
Yes.
I fucking am obsessed. I'm behind because I've been out of town, so I'm behind by like 5 episodes.
I haven't watched it, but
oh
I've
my
seen
god,
it.
It's so good. Because so okay,
you're from Long Beach.
I'm from Long Beach.
Yes.
Jenny Rivera worked at Paramount Swami, which is where her dad and, you know, her whole family used to work at Paramount Swami, and they had a puestecito, and they used to sell their CDs in the puestecito at Paramount Swamid. And I worked at Paramount Swamid, and so I was like, oh my god, like, you know, I didn't know her at the time, but I used to work there. And so in the novela, they have like, you know, they show scenes of people like working at the Swamid. Like, it was
shout
very
out Luis.
Yes, I know. shout out to Luis. And what's his Swamid. Yeah, yeah, and so like they're showing that, and it's like super real, and I think that, you know, in the novela it has its problematic aspects like anything else, everything else, but you know, the fact that they talk about, like, you know, they're talking about, you know, sexual violence within the family, they're talking about, you know,
Swami culture,
like all these things that I'm just like, you know, like we see ourselves in stuff like that. And, you know, Insecure, that's like a whole different, you know, monster, you know, like it's just amazing. And it's so LA. And what I love about this show is like, they're staying true to the, to the environment. And you could tell that's an LA show.
Yeah.
You could tell that was Long Beach.
You know what's funny? When I walked up to your house today, to your apartment, and the couch was sitting the out sofa. Front, I almost said, I was like, this is like Insecure. Like,
yeah. Like, oh my God.
Totally like the first season, that scene.
Very much
it
so.
It looks just like yeah, it. Yeah. Very much so. So funny.
So yeah. So I think pop culture is super interesting. It's super, because the rest of America, the rest of this country doesn't really, like they don't go to rallies. You know, a lot of the people that don't like us, they don't go to rallies. They're not part of organizations where they talk to other immigrants. They have TV.
Yeah.
And TV is the way that people see who the other are, whether you're Black, Muslim, gay, you know, the characters that you see on TV, that's how people make an idea of who you are. And so if the people behind those characters, the people who are writing those characters, mm-hmm. are not, you know, reflecting those experiences,
yes.
you're gonna get caricatures. You're gonna get
stereotypes.
Exactly, yes. Exactly. And so, what these shows are doing, they're you know, Insecure specifically. It's the writers. A lot of the writers are Black. You know, the creator is a Black creator, and so you get really good shows. And so that's all to say that I you know, now that I'm here in LA, I wanna go into the you know, tap into the industry, the Hollywood industry,
yeah.
and make sure that, you know, if they're going to create an undocumented, you know, character, because all these shows are doing it and they're looking for people to kind of educate them. But I'm like, it has to be people who like know the shit and not just give you a sob story.
Yeah, it's going to be writers. It's going to be producers.
Exactly.
It's going to be directors.
Exactly.
Not just, yeah, well, we talked about it before, and the idea of diversity has been placed under the umbrella of a token brown person, mm-hmm. in a show,
mm-hmm.
but that doesn't mean anything. Mm-hmm. You have to diversify from the inside out. Otherwise,
mm-hmm. exactly.
And you just keep repeating the same patterns and nothing changes. And this is one of the reasons that a lot of people, I think, are attracted to your work in the first place. Mm-hmm. And then they really delve into what you do and look at everything else because you highlight those problems in pop culture. Mm-hmm. I remember when the JC video came out of him doing the scenes of Friends with all Black people in it. I was like, nah, Julio Salgado did that. A long time ago.
You know what? I saw it. I was like, oh my God. And actually, Solange retweeted some of those images. So I was like, I want to think in the back of my head that JC saw the pose that Solange saw.
Totally. Like, that's what happened.
But I'm just so happy that, you know.
You know, that's why they were fighting in the elevator.
You think that they were
fighting?
Yeah.
That's what it is.
You should have told. You should have
seen. Yeah. You stole that from Julio. Yeah.
No, I think
that
I
was Julio's idea.
No, I did not. No, I'm not claiming. I'm not taking
take it, bitch, take
credit
it.
For JC's work. I don't want to get dragged on Twitter, girl. No, I just think that, you know, it's just a reflection of, because when I made those images, when I made, you know, like, I grew up with these shows. I grew up watching Friends. I grew up watching Will and Grace. I grew up watching Roseanne. And I love these shows. Like, those images, what Belito's referring to, I met some of these shows, and I turned some of my favorite shows into people of color. I turned the main characters into people of color. And I think that it was, I love the show, but what would have happened if the character looked a certain way or it looked more like me? And so the fact that we didn't have many shows like that, we had Living Single, as Latinos, I don't know what we have in. I remember the first Latino that I saw on TV was in the reruns of My So-Called Life. Ricky from My So-Called Life. Did you ever see that show?
No.
Watch it. So Ricky, played by, oh my God, I'm forgetting his name. Wilson Cruz. He was like one of the first gay characters. It was like a gay Latino character. And I remember seeing the reruns because the show came out in 92, so I wasn't in the States yet. And so I saw it and I was like, oh my God. There's somebody that feels like me and, you know, talks like me or whatever.
That's how I felt with the character from the Real World, like the original Real World. Remember there was a guy?
Oh, I forget his name.
He had AIDS, right?
Yeah, he was
That was like the first time that I was like, oh, okay, that's somebody. Like, you felt connected. There was, and that's what we talk about when we talk about visibility. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of people dismiss it because it's pop culture, mm-hmm. but it has such a big audience.
Yeah.
And it's important.
Yeah. I mean, when Will and Grace came out, I was like, oh my God, yes. Like, I see a gay character, mm-hmm. That is not a stereotype, which was kind of like, I think it was balanced with Jack's character, who was like, bitch, I'm hella gay, and I'm gonna tell you how gay I am.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, they were dealing with like white issues, you know, like white things. And but there was also like there was that thing that I could connect to. But I was like, damn, I connected more with Rosario.
With the maid.
With the maid. Which is like, you know, shout out to all the domestic workers. But you know, it was a strong character. She didn't give a fuck. You know, I was like, imagine if all the ladies que trabajan con la señora, they would talk back to them like that. It was great to see something like that. But I can't, and this is one of the things that I was talking to my friend Jessica Salgado. Shout out to Jessica Salgado, poet.
Shout out, Jessica.
We a lot of times we expect a show to have it all, to talk on all the issues, and that's not. You're never gonna have a perfect show.
No.
But the way to counteract that is to greenlight more shows by, you know, that are not, because fucking white shows get, you know, greenlit all the time. And if you have a person of color that show that by a person of color, we put so much expectations on that show.
Correct.
Because we're coming from a place of, you know, like there's not enough. And so that show better have everything. And if it doesn't, then we don't watch it and we don't support it. So it's like we need to have more options.
You're absolutely right, because you know what it is? Because we have so very few icons.
Mm-hmm.
And when we find one, we get a hold of it and we don't want to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
So Valentina. we're always looking for the next icon. Like we want the next Selena. We want the next, you know, like big show that is going to represent us for the next 20 years, because that's all we get. We get one good character or icon every 10, 20 years.
I'm going to talk about it.
Let's talk about Valentina.
Okay, so Valentina. Okay, so I know you love her.
I do. I do.
So okay, so I think that.
Mira, güey, está en tu teléfono también. Ya la vi.
You know, I love Valentina.
She's your backdrop on your phone.
She's
Valentina.
Damn. No, but okay. She's so a lot of people gave her shit because she said like she was like the Selena of drag, or she was like what Selena. But there was some truth in her words. Like she was. She's okay. This is what I'm really bad at, okay, arguing with people.
No. Don't. I didn't even say anything. I just looked at you.
No, because I think, you know, if you're from LA, you saw Valentina. I was like, oh, she's fucking LA.
Yeah.
You know, because all the in the past, the Latinas that have been in RuPaul Drag Race, a lot of the times it's like a joke, and the producers go along with this, you know, like they even play the salsa music.
Don't get us started with that.
and so I think that Valentina like really fought really hard at trying to keep some type of, you know, ownership of her
and
narrative.
She did it with elegance.
Yeah.
For the most part she did, yeah.
And I'm like, why are people being so hard on her? Like, leave Valentina alone.
Because
she's so beautiful.
No, I honestly I think so.
But how many queens do we see that, what talent do you have? But
look, here we go. Valentina Gate. I don't want any of these Valentina fans coming for me, but I'm just going to say some truths here.
Mm-hmm.
That's like our number two episode. Like, Valentina fans are for reals. It's amazing.
Do they have a name? Like the Beehive or the Lambs?
I'm sure they do.
The Tinas? The Valentina?
The Valentina.
Oh, the Tinas. Yeah.
Las Pañuelas?
Oh my God.
Oh, there you go. Just coined that.
Oh, they're called the Red M&Ms, I think.
The Red M&Ms.
Yeah. So a lot of people don't like Valentina because they say that she's fake. And that's, I didn't like that about her either. Like, you know how she always has that smile and like she has this facade up, you know, like this.
She's in character all the
time. She's in character all the time. But
so she's being an artist. So she's making art.
So that's what I'm... Okay. Calmate. No. You can be whatever you want. I'm sorry.
I feel very attacked right now.
I know. I'm like La Ganja right now. So don't come for me. But that's who she is. Mm-hmm. And I realize that a lot of people do have to protect themselves. Mm-hmm. So they have a character. But after seeing lots and lots of videos of Valentina, I'm like, oh, you know what? That's actually just who she is. Like, this is not... I know that there's another person behind that character, even when she's out of drag, but that's not for us. You know, she has to protect her own identity, and that's okay if she does that. And if she's because people want to see vulnerability all the time. And it's like, for what? And then you're fucking Richard Simmons locked in your house with your maid because you've given all of your energy out to the world and you've been shit on for
years. Is that what happened to Richard?
Yeah, yeah, he's like, he's over it. Oh, like, he just gave up.
I'm giving Valentina the benefit of the doubt.
I don't even know if I made any sense. Did
it
make
sense? I feel like you're... I think you're, if anything, you're just reassuring what I just said in terms of, like, she's being an artist. And, you know, my thing is, like, why can't she be allowed to be that, you know, like, an artist?
She could become the next icon, but she doesn't need to claim that right away.
But why not?
I think that was the problem.
But why not? Why? See,
that's
this
not
is my
for
thing.
Her to decide.
But this is my thing, though. Like, if we don't take ownership of our talents, of our, you know, whatever we make, because we are told from the very beginning, like, you're not, this is not for you. When I tried to study art, like, my initially that was going to be my major, art, I was only there for two semesters. It was at a community college. I was studying art, but all the art that I was studying, it was white. It was hella white. And I was like, this is not for me. This is clearly not for me. This is not my world.
Yeah.
I was hella young. But it was that young that I felt so insecure about it because I didn't see myself reflected. And I hope that whoever, like a young kid that is watching Valentina being fucking owning her shit you know what? I'm good. I'm good at what I do. I really hope that somebody's looking at this and seeing, and they're going to see, and they're going to like, okay, I can do that.
And as people of color, a lot of times we're not allowed to claim who we are and claim what we want people to see us as, right? So case and point, Sasha Velour, I love her, right? She's one of my favorite queens.
Yeah.
But Sasha Velour, almost every episode of Drag Race reminded people, hey, I'm an art queen and I'm a smart queen, right? If you're smart and you're an art queen, why would you have to say that? Just be that, right? Nobody's called her out. I mean, a couple people have called her out. I've read a couple articles. And this one right here, too. But they don't give her shit as much as Valentina, right? And it's like, because you're white and you're just a blank slate and you're the generic, you know, you're white bread and whatever toppings you put on there are fine. Nobody's judging them so critically, I think.
You're allowed to fuck up.
You're allowed to experiment. I don't know. And so for a queen like Valentina, like, to claim that she is this icon of Chicano culture, LA culture.
I don't mind claiming greatness where greatness is due, but...
You don't think... Oh, okay.
But from that to when you become an icon, it's because the people decide you're an icon. It's not for the artist to do. I think that's the problem with a lot of people that do that. Like, I know Kanye West is also a person of color, but that's a person that people dismiss because he keeps claiming this genius that it's not for him to decide. Like, time is going to decide that, and people is going to decide that. And the fact that she went there with such beloved icon, because Selena wasn't an icon. Even when she died, Selena became an icon like 10, 20 years after that. A lot of people may disagree with me, but the big icon that Selena is today, it took time. It took people like you that is making art about her. It took a lot of kids that are making t-shirts about her and disseminating her image and her cult, because it really became like a cult. Mm-hmm. So, like, Selena could have not claimed that she was Selena when she was Selena. You know what I'm saying? And that's why I have that problem with Valentina. However, I give her the benefit of the doubt because she's feeling herself, she's riding the wave, and time will tell. Like, that's what I need to wait for.
Well, I mean, it's like, I don't know. I'm really bad at arguing. I'm just like, you're wrong. Y'all are wrong. Valentina's
the
shit.
We're not arguing.
I'm just kidding.
We're just having a conversation.
I think that it takes guts. That it takes guts to be like, I'm the shit. Because people will come for you. Yeah. If they see that you're confident, that you believe in yourself, that you walk with this sort of like air of like, you know, like, I'm good.
I'm a diva.
People are going to be like, Why is she so self-secure? Why does she like herself so much? No, I'm going to like
destroy
that. Like, you know, like go like this. Another thing, again, and there's this pressure on artists of color. What happened to Nina Bonina Brown? Like the way that she was like exposing her depression and her guts and putting it on that, and people were like, oh no, you're not, you're just en falosa. Like that's where you are.
Yeah.
But then with Katya, I love Katya. You know, I love her. That's my boo.
I know.
But she talks about depression, addiction, and like all these things that, you know, that you deal with. But then she's like, oh, she's doing it in a different way. She's doing it in a funny way. She's doing it in a way that I can, you know, that white people can be like, I can connect with that. And so, but the way that Nina was doing it was not acceptable. And so she was like kind of put to the side and deemed, you know, like whatever. Like, is she getting the same coins that the white queens are getting? Mm-hmm. Is she getting invited to like the other places that even Valentina's being, you know, invited? Although I saw a flyer that Valentina and Nina are doing something together.
Good.
That's oh, like
good.
That's in Australia, I think.
Well, do they book the black queens for anything?
Look at bots. Oh, where's the bots? But the
bots is different now. They call it something else. They call it I don't know.
But all the pinches güeras. Yeah. Like, you know, yeah. And then you have the, you know, the Filipinas here and there.
Yeah.
And then that's it. And it was just like, yeah, it's really interesting. But yeah. I mean,
so with that in mind, when you, because you, I know that you go talk to universities, mm-hmm. you go school these people about not boxing you, mm-hmm. and you are very aware of your audience. That's one of the mm-hmm. things I noticed, that you know who your audience is when you speak in mm-hmm. a university. You know who your audience is in a YouTube video. Mm-hmm. You know who your audience is when you look at one of your prints. Mm-hmm. So with that in mind, do you claim greatness or do you shift according to the audience?
So, okay. So it's a good question. And it took, so when I started making art, and I started getting some people asking me to come to a university or come, you know, come and talk about your art, I would decline. I'd be like, no. Cause like, I'm like, I'm not a professor. I'm not, you know, how am I going to do it? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have the skills. I'm, you know, cause they were like, come and do a lecture. I'm like, a lecture? The fuck? Like, I don't know yeah, how to do that. But then I was looking that a lot of, you know, academics and folks were like writing about my artwork, you know, just, and getting paid. Like, I don't know how it works, but like you get money to,
I know,
like,
I heard about you first in an art history conference. We talked about it.
Yeah. And yeah. I was like, that it was great. Cause you know, if it wasn't for a lot of these academics, you know, that are talking about my work, I'm like, I love it. Thank you for sharing my work. But
and
I'm like,
your gigs too.
I'm like, but wait a minute. I was like, I'm not dead. Yeah, I'm still here. I'm alive. Yeah. So I actually call my lecture, I'm a queer artist of color and I'm still alive, because it's not until we're dead, especially as artists of color, mm-hmm. that then you are like, oh my God, you know, like this, I wish I could have met him when he was alive or whatever. Yeah. And so in essence, like I'm following that, like I'm claiming my shit. And then I started taking the gigs. Well, also cause I needed the money, mm-hmm. but I was just like, you know, it was a new thing to me to talk about my art, and I had to really own it and say, I created this piece. This piece came from this place of, you know, my heart. I'm alive, you know, don't let people, you know, like I wanted to make sure. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And that's not to say that, again, like I, you know, it's not any shade to like academics that write about my work, because I'm thankful for that. But I'm like, but invite me to the, you know, like I'm the one who's making these pieces. And for the most part, it's people accept that, you know, like they're pretty well aware. Like sometimes I'm like, because I could be like a little too like harsh on white supremacy. And then like, I'm like, I hope like white people don't take it too personal.
You can never be too harsh about white supremacy.
I know. But then I'm just like, you know, like I had one, it was funny. I was in Portland. I got invited to this art school.
Yeah.
Forget the name of it. Was it in Portland? Anyways, it was all white students. And I was like, bitch, what am I? Okay, fuck it. I'm like, all right. So I start talking about my art. And I'm like, you know, this and that and that. And then, you know, like I start, you know, I was like, I was doing a Q&A afterward. And then one of the first questions was, this white dude was like, well, you talk about you want to live in a place with no borders, but what are we going to do with all the criminals that are coming over, all the drugs that they're smuggling into the country? And before I could answer, this white girl that was in there, she was like, well, if we didn't demand so many drugs and we stopped using drugs, and you know, there wouldn't be a demand for those drugs. So it's not a one-sided issue. So I didn't have to say anything. I was like, okay, girl, you understand my lecture.
Snaps.
So, and yeah. And so I'm like, I, you know, and with this whole thing that is happening happening right now. I'm like, I need white people to talk to other white people.
Yes.
Like we cannot be constantly holding, you know, like having to explain ourselves. Like, I need to go and take a break at the beach while you talk to your grandma. I've been having so many arguments online with people that I thought we were friends, or like I met once, you know, white people that get offended. They're like, well, you know, like, it's, you know, my family's not like that. Like, you're, I'm like, we all have, you know, I have to talk to my family sometimes when they say some problematic shit, and I have to call it out.
Because that happens in every culture and every color.
And it's uncomfortable, but it's like, if you really care, like, you're going to have this conversation.
It blows my mind. We have been confronted with our identity from day one. Every day we're reminded that we're people of color and that we're different. And now finally there's all these white people waking the fuck up and they're aware of what's happening and they're aware that they're white, you know? And we have the first thing is they get defensive. Yeah. Well, I'm not like that. I have three black friends, you know? Like, I'm not a white supremacist.
Not one, not two, but three.
Yeah, but like Julio said, like you said, if we know racist people in our own families, you know a white person has a white supremacist in their family.
Yeah.
And it's just like, that's just the society we live in. This is the construct of the world.
And you raise a really good point, because I do feel a responsibility to school people, but at the same time, I also feel the need to like step away. Like, there's times where like I'm looking online and I'm just like, I can't today, and I'm not going to, and I'm going to step away. I cannot do it, and I own that right, you know, to be able to say, not today, and it's fine.
I'm done. I'm done comforting white people about...
No, not comforting, but confronting them, like talking about these things. Yeah, no, I don't comfort anybody. I'm like, I try not to.
I don't know how to help you with your white tears, with your white guilt, with your fragile masculinity. Like, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I don't have time for that. I'm trying to deal with my own shit. Like, I can't take on your fucking...
Especially if it's online. Because if it's online, like, it's going to go in circles and circles and circles. And I'm just like, I can't.
And when you reclaim the right to... Reclaim your time?
Reclaiming my time. Reclaiming my time. Shout out to Maxine.
When you do that... They get mad at you. They're like, whoa, you raised this topic. Or, well, you're supposed to be responsible to talk about it. Like, I can step away for a second. Like, it's all right, you know, but...
Yeah, no. Anyway, speaking of stepping away, let's take a little break. And we will be right back.
Yay. Come back soon. Hi,
Favi Fav here. And oh my gosh, there is so much going on. I am in Belfast, Ireland right now, installing a show. It's called Shonky, The Aesthetics of Awkwardness. And you'll hear about it on our next episode probably. But anyways, it opens this week, October 20th. If you are in Belfast, come check it out. I made a big ass pile of nachos. That's right, nachos. Okay. Also, if you are in the New Mexico area on Wednesday, October 25th, I will be in Albuquerque, New Mexico, giving a talk as part of this show at the Sanitary Tortilla Factory. I'll post about it on my Instagram. And then in November, we're going to be at Podcasterio Fest, a Latinx digital media experience. That's right. We have all teamed up with Molcajete Dominguero, and we're doing a podcast festival, a Latinx podcast festival. Come and check that out. Oh my gosh, so much to do. So Podcasterio Fest, November 19th. We're so excited about it. Let's see what else. Oh, if you're enjoying the show, stick around a little bit after the show. There's a couple deleted bits, as they say over here. But just warning, you know, we're just very open and honest here. If there's kids in the room, maybe they should leave for that part. But don't say I didn't warn you. And I'm just rambling now. So let's get back to Julio and this hilarious episode. See you soon. Bye. And we're back. Hi.
What's up?
What's up?
What's up?
I feel like we could keep going for another 10 hours.
I know.
Yeah.
This is just like such a natural friendship, a natural conversation.
I know. And this is only the fourth time or third time that I meet you all.
Yeah.
Second time I met you.
But we've been stalking you for a long time.
We met each other at DragCon.
I've been here. I was in LA like in July, right when you moved it. Right when you moved here.
So that was the second time.
Yeah.
And it's the third time.
Yes.
I see.
Okay.
Anyway.
But yeah, sometimes when you meet people online, it's just like, okay, girl, I like you.
I got you.
Mm-hmm. I understand you.
Yeah.
But then after a month, though.
You got to come visit us in Las Vegas.
I am down.
Ahí tienes tu casa.
All right.
For real.
Down. Okay. Igualmente aquí.
So this is the part of the show where we recommend something. Recommendations. And we're going to let you go first because you're our special guest.
Oh, thank you. Well, since this is coming later.
Yes.
You could. I'm watching Mariposa del Barrio.
Yes.
And if you go to Telemundo.com, you should be able to see all the episodes. So Mariposa del Barrio, la novela. It's good.
I'm going to watch it.
Yeah. Start. It's trágica, pero es real.
Oh, yeah.
Hi. I love it. Okay. Like Jenny. Yeah. Hi, Jenny. ¿Por qué nos fuiste?
I know. I loved her reality show.
I love her radio show.
She was so good.
She was so real.
She was so... You know, she was about to get... she was in talks to do a sitcom in ABC.
Damn.
I'm like, she could have been like that new... Roseanne, Roseanne was like so real, and I felt like I'm like, okay, I can see you,
totally.
Even though Roseanne is a whole different monster right now, she is off the deep end, girl. Like
isn't she coming back?
They're gonna reboot her show.
Yeah, but she's like she's hella transphobic, like very like transphobic, and supports Trump. She voted for Trump because she didn't like Hillary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's like one of those Colby Keller like Trump support Trump. Because then it'll break down this two-party system. No sé qué, no sé cuarto. Yeah.
Anyway.
Unless this happens for
Pablito,
sure.
Do you have any recommendations?
So there is a series of exhibitions right now throughout Southern California. And that's there's over 70 different institutions participating in this. And
what
there's
is
exhibition
it?
In LA, even in Palm Springs, I think they're showing. It's called Pacific Standard Time.
Oh, yes.
Latin American and Latino Art. There's such amazing shows throughout the valley. I am reviewing one in the Craft Museum, and I'm actually bringing my class, my Latin American Contemporary Art class, and we're gonna go see 4 or 5 different shows. So that, but also checked out specifically Moca Pacific Designers Center, because if you remember the episode with Rudy Blue, he was part of a collective called Maricón Collective, and as part of that collective, they archive all these pictures and all these events that they put together. So as part of an exhibition called Axis Mundo Queer Networks in Chicano LA in Moca, they're going to highlight the work of Rudy Blue and his fellow queer critics. I don't know.
Maricones?
Yes, the Maricón Collective. So again,
wow.
Check out Pacific Standard Time. Just go to pacificstandardtime.org and you can check all the 70 exhibitions, but make sure to visit Moca and look at Axis Mundo Queer Networks in Chicano LA.
Love it. Cool.
Yes. ¿Y tú qué show?
Well, speaking of Rudy Blue, we are recording this the day after the official Rudy Blue's birthday party.
Should we talk about the party?
I don't think we should talk about it because...
Oh, why not?
We can.
What you remember.
I don't remember much, but what I do remember is tragic. But... Oh, you know, it was great.
It was all a drink.
I had a great time.
Mm-hmm. Y'all did a great job hosting.
Did we?
I loved it, yeah.
Okay, great.
And shout out to everybody who came. We met this guy who drove from San Diego. Like, that was awesome. Like,
To go see y'all. Thomas, shout out to Thomas.
Oh, shout out to Thomas. Because it was really cool. And it was a room filled with this, like, Chicano, like, freak queer people, but there was so much love in the room. It was so amazing. It was fun.
There was a lot of love in the room. Yeah. Shout out to Pablo. And Anthony and I don't know how many people. But anyways, real quick, before we get into the party, I want to do my recommendation, which is actually your DJ set. I'm going to put it on Spotify for everybody to be able to download and listen to Babelito's set from the party. I love your... It's a playlist, girl. It's not a set. Let's get real.
It's a playlist.
But
I never said it was what you said.
But we're,
girl, let's get real. Let's get real. Eres lo que eres.
No mames, cabrón.
Tú puchaste play. That's it.
Don't pull up Valentina.
Ay. No, girl, for my 20-minute set...
I'd like to keep it on, please.
Rudy and I were going back and forth. She goes, okay, I'll put this song. And I'm like, okay, I'll put this song. It was fun, pero después me corrieron.
Yeah, it's okay. But yeah, I'll put it on our website and share it on social media and stuff once this episode comes out.
Yeah.
But you know, I just loved, I never been to an event like that before,
really?
Especially in Las Vegas, where you're just like around all of these brown queers, you know? And I don't know, something just came over me and I just like felt like I was in like, oh, this is how high school must have felt for like normal people.
Yeah.
And I just reverted to what I would have done if I was in high school that night.
Yeah, we were talking about it. I was like, I felt like if this party would have happened in my life when I was in high school, I would have felt like I belonged for the first time. And I even felt like that yesterday. Mm-hmm. So,
and amazing. To be honest, I'm kind of a prude and I'm kind of like, I know, don't look at me. Don't look at me. Nobody look at me right now.
Where? Sorry, I'm looking for her prudeness. Oh, I can't find it.
No, but I was raised really religious and stuff. So like when I was looking at the old scum pictures from the old, from the other events, I was like, ooh, this is a little satanic, you know? Like, I don't know how I feel about this.
I was right.
But when I got there, I was like, these are my fucking people.
Yes.
It was so great. But I got a little nervous at the beginning because I was like, I don't know if anybody's going to like me. You know, like, it's this, like, thing that you still have from being little and insecure about everything. But that went out the window as soon as... what's the owner's name? Let's give him a shout out.
Alex.
Alex, thanks for all the shots, Alex. Oh my God.
That was amazing.
Oh my God. We got to meet so many amazing people. And shout out to everybody that made it out. There's a lot of people that listen to the podcast that were there.
And Meatball was amazing.
Meatball.
La Meatball.
¿Cómo se llamaba la otra? Lady Forbidden.
Yeah, Forbidden.
Oh my God, she was, and that white man, the Tin Man, was there. It was amazing. It was amazing,
dude.
They were doing the Mariah Carey.
Yeah,
there was a guy dressed with a con una mini falda como like a cow.
De vaquera, la roja, la roja.
And you were like towards the end of our hosting. You call him Buzz like you.
I was so drunk. I was like, I mean Woody. I'm so sorry. Yeah.
I want to take a picture of him.
Yo este que culera.
No, that was it. Like,
shout out to Buzz.
The space was very like. See, I grew up with kids like that in high school. Like when I was in high school, I had the spiky hair with like old colors. I was obsessed with No Doubt. Like No Doubt was like my band.
Oh my God!
And so you know, like.
I had no idea how big they were with the Chicano community. When they played that song, I was like, what is happening?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is how obsessed I was with No Doubt when I was in high school. I used to print photos of the internet, the one computer that we had that had good internet. And I would put tape, I would cover it with tape, the photos.
La micabas.
And then I would staple them in my backpack. Like I was that kid.
Oh my God.
And I had like patches,
checkerboard.
And all the things. I never did checkerboard. But I had all the things, and I used to write on my pants. It was family.
Alternativa.
That was my nickname with the bullies.
Alternativo.
El alternativo.
Hey, fool, you a rocker? Is that just an LA thing?
No, it's everywhere.
Like when like the cholos ask you, it's like, hey, fool, you a rocker and shit? Are you a rocker, huh? Well, there's a movie called What's Up Rockers. It's with the guy from Larry Clark who did Kids. Have you never seen that movie?
Oh, yeah.
That's where Rosario Dawson and Chloe, I don't know how to pronounce her last name, Sevigny.
Yeah.
And the What's Up Rockers is kind of like the same thing. Mm-hmm. He's got a weird way of the way that he like films young
portraying our youth.
But this one is set in South Central and like it's called What's Up Rockers.
Another recommendation from Julio Salgado.
Another recommendation. Well, I haven't seen it, so I don't know.
And tell everybody where they can find you, all your social media, your job, your favorite Popper's website,
your Tinder.
I should start doing Tinder. That sounds like a new drug. I should start doing Tinder. I went on a date this week. So you can find me. It was cute. There's a second date.
Should we get into it?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I'm excited.
What did you guys do on your date? Just really quick.
I know.
This is gonna be it was just like a drink.
It was like a drinks date. Like we had a drink and it was cute. He's tall. Like I never know what to do with tall guys because I'm usually the tall guy. And this
Find
dude is
like a triangle.
I know. This dude is like 6'4". So I'm like,
damn.
I know he's tall, but he's so pretty. And anyways, you can find my art at a quick. You can find my art at juliosalgadoart.com. You can find me on Instagram. That's where I'm usually putting out some images. And my Instagram handle is at juliosalgado83. And I was taking pictures at the scum party, so I'm going to have some illustrations. And I did... Well, I took pictures of you, too.
Yeah, I can't wait to share those on our Instagram. We'll share them for this episode.
Yeah. I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
And we'll put links to your YouTube stuff and you know, you're everywhere. Your taco talks, we didn't even talk about that.
Oh, the taco
but
talks.
You do so many things.
I need to invite you all to do a taco talk. We can go to Vegas.
Hello, Latinos Who Lunch.
Yeah,
taco
the first time I saw the
Get
taco
your
talk,
shit
I'm
together.
Like, mira esta pendeja no nos invita, pero
No, we'll go to Vegas. We just went to New York and did two episodes.
Se fueron hasta Nueva York.
Hasta Nueva York, güey.
We're right down the street.
We have the best tacos but my in the West Coast, by the way.
Really?
Yes.
Well, you have a Gordos in there, right?
We do.
Exactly.
Yes. Oh my god.
¿Qué te dije?
Okay. Yeah. Are you done? Are we done?
I'll talk to my call.
Talk to your manager.
Jesus is the one who sets everything up. But tell him. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being on Latinos Who Lunch, Julio.
Muchísimas gracias. You're always welcome.
Yes.
I had so much fun.
And I hope. I mean, we're gonna get together again and do another one because this was too much fun. We could talk to you for hours.
Yeah, I can talk for a long time. So
yes, yes.
You're like, yes, we saw.
All right. And as always, you can visit us at latinoswholunch.com. Email us, latinoswholunch@gmail.com. You can find us on Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, wherever you listen to podcasts. Obviously, you're listening. I don't know why I do that part because I already listen.
That's
listening,
all right.
So
that's okay. All right, keep going.
And if you have a minute, it really helps if you rate and review us on whatever you're listening to us on. Go on Apple Podcasts, give us 5 stars.
5 stars only.
Because the more reviews we have, the more visible we are. And visibility is
essential.
I'm Fabi Fav.
And this is Babelito.
And I'm Julio.
Bang!
Ciao, ciao, ciao.
Bye, adios.
Montamos poppers.
Speaking of stuffing, Julio.
Here's the poppers that I
let's get to it.
Yeah,
why not?
Let's talk about
start.
It.
Okay.
If there's kids in the room, get them out of the room right now because it's about to get
interesting. Poppers.
So Julio, for the longest time.
My mouth is watering.
I know. We're not even going to introduce him. Like, he's an artist. He does this. No, let's get straight to
the point.
It's una popera.
If you refer back to the DragCon episode when we were recording live, we had the honor to meet you there.
Oh,
so our audience supposed to be familiar with who you are, but for those of
they're supposed to be
yes
okay
but for those of them who don't know you, tell them a little bit about yourself.
For those of you who don't know me, wow, I mean, I feel flattered. You should know. If you don't,
they
now
should.
You know.
Put your shit together.
Well, I'm just a little immigrant artist who likes to draw about being an immigrant and being queer. I make a lot of political poster artwork. You can find my work on juliosalgadoart.com. Plugs. But my real passion, the thing that makes me happy, the thing that I can talk about for hours.
Say it, girl.
Poppers. A ver. Let me tell you about poppers. Oh my God.
Okay, so last time we were in LA, you did this whole presentation. I felt like you were selling poppers to me.
I know, I learned so much.
We learned so much. Let's do a little poppers 101.
Poppers 101.
For people that don't know what they are.
Right. So poppers are, they're basically BHR cleaners. VHS cleaners. VHS cleaners that the gays have, as my friend Trucha says, have appropriated to have some fun.
They've gentrified the
VHS. Gentrified poppers and, yeah, you know, reclaiming them, reclaiming poppers. Them.
Yeah.
If you.
So it's not like a 70s thing? It's a new thing?
No, no. It's like people, I mean, yeah, people have been using them. You know, people use poppers to, you know, what it does, it like relaxes you. It's like a rush to the head and, you know, it relaxes you. And if you're trying to have some, if you're trying to get fucked in the butt, okay, and you know, you use it and then you just relax a little bit.
How do you use it? What does it look like? How do you do it?
They come in a little bottle.
Uh-huh.
And then you just, you know, open it up and it's like aroma that comes out.
It's almost like an aromatherapy, like when you have like, yes, lavender oil.
Some people, yeah, some people have candles, you, yeah, know, to get it on.
Explain it in white terms.
I use poppers.
Uh-huh. And yeah, so you sniff it.
You sniff it and, uh-huh, it relaxes your body and then you just, you know, it's like,
so it's like a bunch of chemicals.
I mean, we shouldn't be drinking either. Cut, and we drink.
Cut.
We shouldn't smoke.
No, I'm just saying what it is. I'm not. I'm not.
Right, nobody, I felt a little tired.
I'm like, we're not judging.
Oh my
you,
God!
Girl.
I'm not. We're just. I'm just explaining what it is. He's like, oh my God! Okay.
I'm living under times of crisis, so everything that saying, people say at me, I feel.
I'm
I
not
take
judging
it
you for doing
as an attack. No. You know.
I'm just saying what it is. So it's like a bunch of chemicals, yeah, that you sniff and it cuts off probably, yeah, oxygen to your brain, so it gives you this high.
Yes.
Yes.
So it's kind of like if you're into choking a little,
yes,
bit.
Yes, like absolutely.
I discovered but this, that. But that's a, yeah, different conversation to have. But, yeah, I found out that I was into that recently. I feel like a lot of the things that I'm discovering about my sexuality and the, yeah, things that I like to do,
uh-huh,
I discovered them in my 30s. Like in my 30s, I've... if you hear a little background, it's my roommate's dog is eating her food, so don't mind that. And you know, I feel like all of my in my 20s, my gay encounters were so awkward and, yeah, bad because there's no book. Well, I mean, there's books about sexuality, but when you're young and you know,
you're finding yourself, you're, yeah, discovering, yeah, who you are.
I didn't know that you needed to practice with a dildo if you wanted to, you know.
Do that.
Like, yeah. I didn't, you know, it didn't cross my mind. And it wasn't until I was in my 30s that I was like, somebody, a friend of mine introduced me to, like, oh, I'm like, I don't like to bottom because it hurts. Like, you know, I'm strictly top. And because I never did it right. I was never, you know, and so I started sort of experimenting with different things that relax you. Cause you gotta find something that relaxes you if you're not a natural. Cause you know, there's people who are naturals and I wish I could do that, but, uh-huh, you know, I couldn't do it. And so poppers became the thing.
It was the gateway to heaven.
It was oh yeah. Then I was like, oh, this is what, if, oh, she, yeah. Like I felt like a woman on the verge having her orgasm for the first time. Like, it was like, oh, like, you know, it was very like, oh, I never had it before. And I was like, oh my God, I've been missing out this whole time. And yeah. And poppers have been.
So when did you discover these recently?
I was like 31. I'm about to be 34.
Okay.
So like a couple of years ago. And yeah, like it was great.
It's been life changing.
Okay. Yeah. So then this is the next part. The next part was like, so then I started like, you know, cause I wanted to like find out what exactly I was putting in my body. Mm-hmm. And there's many brands. Now there's two of my favorite brands are.
Today's episode of Latinos Who Lunch is brought to you by Poppers.
Lunching. Now I always tell people, if you just want to suck a little dick, uh-huh, and make sure that you throw, and you're like throw like it opens, uh-huh, you know, because some of us are like, you know, and then
very sensitive, deogas, very deogas, sensitive.
Yeah, uh-huh, girl, you do a little that shit, like it's like se te abre el mar muerto.
Cálmate, Moisés.
Okay,
it's like, you know, it's like, oh my God, like my throat has no end.
Let
you
my
know?
People go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, if you're trying to do, you know, the other stuff, you know, like booty sex, mm-hmm, you know, put it. That sounds so like like what straight guys would say about gay men. Oh, you guys are having booty sex.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was what it is. Mm-hmm. And I tried. It opens up your. I don't know what it does exactly. What it does, but like, you just like, and all you need is 3 inches to hit the.
The button. You know
el punto sensitivo. El punto is 3 inches. I, you know,
perfect.
I'm like, girl. And then, yeah, so those are my favorite brands.
Okay, so.
If you're eating ass, there's another one for eating ass. And I was actually in Vegas.
Uh-huh.
She went to a little, you know, sex party out there.
Buscando
more.
Cleaners.
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 No, and a dude that I met at the, at this place, the bathhouse. She went to the bathhouse. I tried the. And it was like the best plate. You know when you're eating food and like the feeling of like that, like licking the plate and you just never once. Has
oh my like, god. Like when you go to Olive Garden.
Yes.
And like the Alfredo licking, sauce.
You can lick for hours.
See, I've been fucking with the. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah. You know. So those are the three basics: dick, eating ass, and you know. There's plenty other things. Like if you want,
it's like I know that it's sticky though because sometimes they're legal, sometimes they're not.
Yeah.
And here in Latinos Who Lunch, we don't promote the use of illegal drugs. But
yeah.
Keep going.
But you have an illegal here.
Yeah, but
you have my illegal ass here talking about illegal substance.
People aren't illegal.
If I don't disappear, if you don't hear from me, make sure you don't put my website actually on this.
Yeah,
thing.
No links.
No, I'm just kidding. No, yeah, there's like a weird legality of poppers. Like there's allegedly like it could affect your eyesight, but there hasn't been like that many studies into it. And
sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'm okay.
You're like, allegedly, you could
allegedly,
die.
You could die if you drink it. Like, that's dangerous. Oh, you shouldn't drink it. Oh my God, one time I was at a club and this dude, I was like, you know, because sometimes people use them also to party. Like, it gives you like energy and you're like dancing or whatever.
Like a little rush.
Yeah. And this guy was like, what are you guys doing? And we're like, oh, we're doing poppers. He was like, can I have some? And we're like, sure. And he was about to like drink it.
No.
Like, I was like, no. Don't drink
it's
it.
Stupid.
And I was like, you've never done it before. And I'm like, no. I'm not a pusher.
But you're an educator.
But I will educate you. I'm like, it will give you a headache.
Yes.
You know, it's fun. But like everything, there has to be there's consequences to everything that we do. So don't do it in excess. But
nada con exceso.
Todo con medida.
Exacto.
Sí. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for that lesson. I'm
very welcome. That was the last thing I would think I would talk to you guys if I ever heard your show.
I mean, you brought them.
Yeah, you
down
said it. You said it
table.
Out for us. You were begging for that question. So
no,
what?
This is great. What? This is great.
This is a safe space, Julio.
Yeah, we can talk about whatever we want.
Yes.
Here. You know, we
why?
Are
because it's your show,
exactly,
and not.
Oh, wait,
it's our show, not yours.
It's not yours. I'm so excited. Do you know that they're getting their own
yes!
show?
Yes, Katya and Trixie are getting their own show on Viceland.
So I love excited. Those are the one, two of the few white queens that I really love, that they're down. Because some of the other queens are like...
Bitch, when I saw them at DragCon, I was...
We froze.
I just like... couldn't believe they were standing in front of me.
Yeah.
It was insane.
I know, and then you have that story with Katya, right? That you were like... checking out the or well, like she's
just like
shit.
Over my shoulder like grabbing all my shit and I'm like, oh, what do I do? I don't know.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so I just ignored her and she just kept fucking with me because I did that.
That's hilarious.
Anyways, okay, let's take a little break.
Oh,
that's fun.
Throat hurt.
Take a popper. Oh, you don't have the platinum
Roosh.
Well,
no, just to open up your throat.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. You guys need to use the bathroom. There's a restroom here and the restroom upstairs.
Lista?
Oh.
No, you're fine. You ready? You better work, bitch.
You want a little gordita?
You better work, bitch.
You better eat, bitch.
You want a satita?
You want a squatty potty?
Look.
You better shit, bitch. You want a porta potty? No. You want a Panettone? Panettone, is that really dry bread like during New Year's? Do you know what I'm talking about? Panettone?
You get it in a box?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Coco Peru loves that shit.
Wait.
Panettone.
Wait.